The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
We've got Dan Schneier joining us on this Tuesday edition of Fantasy Football Today. Second episode this week. For Super Bowl week, we got five episodes, one every day, leading up to the weekend. I'm Adam Azer with Dan Schneier and Dave Richard, and we're throwing some surprises at Dan today, of course. A little fill-in-the-blank for Dan to do, a little fill-in-the-blank about Dan for Dave to guess on. That'll be fun. And the primary reason we're here is we're going to get six players that Dan Schneier loves for 2023 early on here in February. What's up, Dan? Welcome back.
I am glad to be here. First of all, it's always a special treat when I get to join FFT, especially when Dave's here, because me and Dave don't really get too many shows we get to do together. So off season seems to be where we get to shine. So I put it together a little quick riff, a little song for my return here back to FFT. And I'm going to just, you know, in the past, people have said they've loved my Eddie Vedder impression. So I'll do one similar. It's not Vedder, but it's another kind of, you know, singing voice that I kind of have found ways through the years to make fun of. And you'll probably get the song, and it goes a little something like, "It's been a while since I have joined FFT pod. It's been a while since I've talked with Azer." So yeah, that's my little, it's been a while.
Can you take Dan Schneier? Yeah, all right. That was good.
What the hell have I gotten myself into?
By the way, Dan, you not doing shows with Dave very often is actually a request from Dave, just letting you know.
I understand.
All right. Oh, no, that's not true.
But
it might be starting now.
Yeah, now that he knows the kind of content we cover usually.
All right, Dave, get your opinion on this, because we have a quote, a comment here from Don in the chat. It says, "Dan loves singing on the toilet. Do you think that Dan Schneier's shot here on StreamYard, if you can see him, does it look like he's on the toilet? Because people have said that in the past.
One person said that, and then everybody joined
everybody agreed. Yeah.
There's no chance he's on the bowl, because who puts their New York Giants memorabilia behind the commode? So you know he's not there. But it does kind of, you know what it is? It's because you've got that like little narrow
the nook
area that you're seeing.
Yeah, yeah.
You like think about your how often are you almost cursed? How often are you going somewhere?
Yes,
where it's like, you know, wide open space.
Right,
right.
Yeah,
there aren't a lot of those.
He's in a stall.
I kind of get that you're in like your like your own version of a porta potty, like a fancy.
It might be time to make a little change here, because I you know, like, a lot of hate from the comments. Sometimes they
love
get
it.
To you.
They love it. All right, Dan. It's been a while since we've gotten a Super Bowl prediction.
Yes.
So fill in the blank, Dan Schneier. Blank will win the Super Bowl because blank.
Oh, man. Do you want my heart or my head?
Your prediction? Head. Your head.
Yeah. Head. All right. Got to go with the head. The Eagles will win the Super Bowl because they'll dominate the line of scrimmages on both sides of the ball more than the Chiefs will.
Yeah, I think the three of us are kind of feeling, you know, honestly, though, the Chiefs offensive line, you think about Mahomes.
It is good.
The last two games with the ankle injury, especially in the first one against Jacksonville, they really just didn't allow a lot of pressure, and he was able to just stand in the pocket and deliver, and they held up well against the Bengals, too. So this could be maybe the best. So they faced the Cowboys twice, but one of the best offensive lines they're going to face all year. So
right.
The Chiefs credit there. Dave will get your Super Bowl prediction later in the week. Another fill in the blank from Dan. Dan, blank is the best show on TV.
Ever or currently?
Current.
Current best show on TV.
Or streaming, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to go with The Last of Us. You know, Last of Us Episode 3 was one of my favorite bottle episodes of television that I've seen in years. Went a little away from what we expected the show to be. Then last night's or Sunday night's episode 4 was kind of back to what everyone was expecting. And the entire episode, I was edge of my seat. I don't want to, you know, Adam's big. Don't give away anything.
Don't give away
a spoiler.
Anything, yeah.
You say anything, it's a spoiler. So I won't go any deeper than that. But I'll just say back to back episode 3 and 4 were amazing. So I'll go with Last of Us for right now.
I thought you were going to say Fleischman is in trouble. That's where I thought you were going.
That's off TV now because it was completed 8 episodes, and that was also one of the best shows of 2023.
Yeah, it's terrific. All right.
Did you watch it?
I've not all
oh,
of
nice.
It, but yeah, it's great. All right, we got a Facebook group. It's the best Facebook
group.
Wait,
now that you've watched it, hold on before we do this. Do you see why I drew some comparisons and got a little bit of an Azer feel with the main character?
I probably need to watch more of it before I agree with that, but yeah, I think so. He's
mannerisms.
He's like a very nice, nervous guy.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, very like pretty lame. Our Facebook
not
group
from
is
the
great.
Lame standpoint.
Join our Facebook group. Just go on Facebook, search for Fantasy Football Today, and it's also there's a link in the episode description. So great way to connect with fans. Let's get one player Dan loves for 2023. Who's your headliner?
Headliner for me, I got a lot of players I love for 2023. Let me just go with my headliner that I think will be the best value. And I'm going to go with Calvin Ridley coming back to the Jaguars here. So I think there's different ways you can look at all these picks. I'm going to have some interesting stats for some of them. Ridley's not going to be a stat-based pick for me. Ridley's going to be a combination of things. I'll start with, I went back and started to watch some of Calvin Ridley's tape from before his suspension. So I just wanted to kind of remind myself of what kind of player he was. And man, he is one of the most fun receivers to watch when you're just breaking down the film. His release package is off the line of scrimmage. He's someone who is not a 4.3 speed guy, but he, in my opinion, he's one of the best vertical route runners in the game because his ability to release off the line of scrimmage and create separation with his feet. And that's something that I think will work and play a lot better with Trevor Lawrence than it played with Matt Ryan. Even at the peak of Matt Ryan's career, I think there are areas of the field that Trevor Lawrence uses that Matt Ryan does not use, specifically against zone coverage. They call them the hole shots. It's basically the outside the numbers throws in the 15 plus range, 15 to 25, that Ridley does an incredible job getting into space. And at times I was watching and Matt Ryan didn't deliver the football or didn't get there on time, or he just didn't want to make that throw because maybe he doesn't trust his arm or those are not the type of throws he makes. But Trevor Lawrence trusts his arm. I watched him with Zay Jones this year. Some of his tape this year was phenomenal, Lawrence. And that was with Zay Jones and Evan Ingram trying to get open into windows. Now you have Calvin Ridley, and just think of Ridley's overall profile, right? He was never not elite, really. I mean, he was a 5-star recruit. He was number one ranked coming into college by some services. Then as a freshman, he had an early dominator, like his dominator score is amazing. He had 89 receptions, 1,045 yards and 7 touchdowns as a true freshman at Alabama. First season in the NFL, immediate transition. He had 10 touchdowns, 821 yards. And you think of all of that, and then you think of he also had a fantasy season that was dominant. In 2020, he was the wide receiver 4 overall, so he's already proven he can do that from a fantasy standpoint. And the Jaguars, as I predicted before the season, they're going to be a pass-heavy offense for the remainder of Doug Peterson's tenure there. They were 9th most pass attempts last year. I don't see that number ever dropping outside the top 10. Peterson is a pass-heavy, pass-game script type of coordinator and play caller, and that offense will always be that way. So to me, there's no way he's going to jump in ADP, like, and he's going to jump. People are going to love him, but he's not going to ever get into a range where I'm not going to draft him because I think his upside is wide receiver 1, top 10, even maybe even top 5, honestly. And I don't know if he's ever going to get above ADP of wide receiver 18 to 20. So for me, the value will be there throughout the whole rest of the offseason.
So if we're drafting right now, what round are you willing, what's the highest round you're willing to take Calvin Ridley in?
Back end three, early four.
Okay. And then if it gets to early three, say we're in August, what would you need to really see to make you go, okay, yeah, I'm still in, even though it's a top 30 pick?
I guess I shouldn't have even said back in three, early four then, because I would take him in that range of the top 30, you know, right around that range. Yeah, I don't, this is a player that I'm going to have most of all the players. I'm very confident in what I've seen from Lawrence. I'm very confident in what I've seen from Ridley. And I know that when you're taking receivers in that 30 range, think about the guys we took last year. It was like Michael Pittman, right? In that range.
Sure,
it was,
sure.
It was Pittman. Who were some of the other guys that we took in that range that didn't quite
You don't
make
have
it?
To talk about this. This was not a good range.
Cortland Sutton.
I know, it was a bad range. Cortland Sutton.
DJ Moore.
Right. It was a very bad range. But all those things that those guys didn't have, all those things that partially played a role in those guys busting was quarterback play, right? Indianapolis, Denver, and who was the last player we just mentioned?
Carolina,
Moore, right. Yeah. Okay. I am very confident that there will be no bust factor there with Trevor Lawrence. I think he's only going to get a lot better next year. So it's hard for me to come off Ridley.
It really comes down to, is Ridley prepared to play football next year? Did he spend this full year of suspension sitting on his couch and betting parlays and eating Cheetos, or was he working out and getting in the gym a little bit so he shows up to their OTAs in good shape? Does he understand the playbook? Does he do what he's been doing his whole life is really what it comes down to. And I don't think it's asking that much of him to do that. And I am sure the early camp reports out of Jacksonville will be glowing about Calvin Ridley and how he's acclimating back into football. Remember these numbers about Calvin Ridley. In 2020 and in 2021, and yeah, it's in a different offense, he was top 24 in PPR points per game each year, top six in targets per game in each of those years. And there were many games where he played with a good receiver opposite him. I don't know if I'm ready to say that a good receiver will still be opposite him. Maybe good is a good enough word to describe Christian Kirk, but you know the receiver that he played alongside within Atlanta. That's better than a good receiver. I don't think that Christian Kirk or Zay Jones or even Evan Engram are in that same range as Julio Jones. And Calvin Ridley was still putting up touchdowns and still doing a very good job. Very real chance that he is their number one receiver by a wide margin. Changes the entire dynamic of that offense. You didn't mention Doug Peterson. You know that he loves to throw the football.
Yeah, he did.
He said a lot. I didn't hear that part. If they don't improve their run game, that further helps Calvin Ridley. So I've been taking Calvin in like round four, round five in early mocks, and I'm loving it.
Yeah.
It's when we talk about that early round three pick where I go, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of time between now and then to really decide if he's worth that high of a pick. But he's been outstanding for fantasy when he's played. I'm looking forward to Calvin Ridley being back next year.
I think any wide receiver you're going to take in early round three is going to feel, I think this year it's not going to necessarily feel great because you're going to be talking about a guy like Devontae Smith, or maybe Chris Godwin, depending on Mike Evans, depending on the quarterback situation there. T. Higgins, I would feel great about. I mean, he's, you know, if he stays on the Bengals. But
sure.
Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, those two guys I actually would feel pretty good about. We'll see what happens with quarterback there. But would you guys take Calvin Ridley over Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave?
No.
Yes, for me on both, but I love Wilson, so Wilson's close for me. Olave would be by far the third for me.
You know what'll flip you? Who's the quarterback for those guys?
Right. That
Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets and Derek Carr goes to New Orleans and Michael Thomas leaves New Orleans like we expect. I think you might flip on that and you might.
But I think agreed. But I think that based on knowing these teams and growing up in the New York, New Jersey area my whole life and following the Jets, Woody Johnson, their owner, basically said, we're going to get a veteran quarterback this offseason. He's not talking Jacoby Brissett. They're either going for Rodgers or they're going to get Carr, in my opinion, if they miss on Rodgers. Versus New Orleans, where I'm like, I think they're leaning into this rebuild. And they may either have just Dalton or a rookie again. And that just makes me so unenthused about Chris Olave.
The problem with having Carr as your backup plan is you better make sure that Rodgers is locked in, because the decision on Carr should happen before the decision on Rodgers because of the way his contract is
structured. Right. Especially if Rodgers. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I mean, but the back channeling in the NFL has been going on with these guys literally for months.
Yep.
So it's just a matter of where everybody gets settled and there's no one that comes in at the last second to try and make a play for one of them.
All right. Well, Nick Pratt in our chat says, waiting on these guys to talk about James Cook. That is one of the guys that we will be talking about. Dan likes James Cook as a player he's excited about for 2023. We'll also talk about one of the Giants. That really should come as no surprise. But first, let's do some Dan fill in the blank with Dave guessing. Okay.
I like this.
The last time. All right. Wait.
How is this going to work?
You guess. You fill in the blank. Okay, Dave. Ready?
I'm filling in the blank based on what I think Dan will say.
No, but you'll see. You'll see. Ready? Okay. First one. Dan, that you have to know this about Dan. He wishes and thinks that he's Italian. So yes. With that said.
No, I don't think I am. I just wish I am.
Dan last ate Italian food blank days ago.
Zero.
As in he ate it yesterday or today or like?
He had chicken parm for breakfast.
Dan, when was the last time you ate Italian food?
This is eerily almost too accurate. Not breakfast, but last night I had a slice of pizza.
Dan wants the Giants to blank Saquon Barkley.
Ooh, this is keep. No, wrong.
Yeah, he doesn't want them to spend on the running back position.
I just would never sign a running back to a second contract.
What's the number you would spend for him? How many?
So
millions?
If it's just up to me, Dave, I would never sign a running back to a second contract. That's just my
Even
how
like
I would run a team.
$30 million over 3 years. You wouldn't do that.
That's, I'm fine with the it happening. $30 million over three, especially, is fine because there won't be too much dead cap down the line. But if they're going to sign Barkley to any contract, 3 years, or whatever it would be, I wanted it as a front loaded deal where most of the guaranteed money is at the beginning of the contract.
Sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Dan can run blank of a mile without stopping.
Wait, let me see. Get a look at you. You look like you're in some pretty good shape. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Blackling even. You're probably the most athletic one on the podcast right now. I'll say a sixth of a mile.
Oof. That's not that much, I guess.
That is not much at all. Yet probably accurate because despite the fact that I have been better at going to the gym to lift weights, I haven't been better at going to the gym to do any kind of cardio or get myself in any kind of running shape. My basketball league hasn't resumed yet, so I am definitely out of shape. I think I would make it a sixth if I'm lucky.
Okay. Last one. The most beers Dan drank in one night when he was a student at the University of Wisconsin is blank. Oh,
14.
This is in, this is a number we can't come to because I can't remember it. So
14 is
we
a
don't
lot.
Know.
Dear
it could
God.
Be 14. It could be 16. It's hard to tell.
Wow. Okay. All right. We learned a lot about
you guys never played beer pong and had drinking games back in college.
Adam did not.
Well, Adam never did. I always forget about that.
You think, first of all, I'm terrible. For someone who was sober, I was always one of the worst beer pong players. It's really embarrassing.
Yeah, you had an edge by being sober. That's terrible.
And I would have to chug water, which is actually really hard. It's not
also,
easy.
Also, no,
to chug
you were
water.
The guy who... You were just such an unfair teammate because during beer pong days, you were the guy who was the teammate who would be like, I'll play with you, but you have to drink all my beer.
No,
so
I would drink. I would chug water. I told you, I would chug water.
Well, that's if you're playing the newer version of beer pong. Back in the day before COVID, people used to play beer pong with beer in the cups, so you'd have to drink the cup after it gets hit.
Yeah, I know, but if it went into a cup, there would be a separate thing of water,
and that would drink that beer that was in the cup.
I don't know if anybody
your teammate
would. I don't
would
know
drink
if anybody.
That beer. It's always the teammate.
All right. Minnesota hired Brian Flores as their defensive coordinator. That is the only news item that I have for you today. So we're going to take a break and talk more of Dan's favorite players for 2023. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. All right, if you had the over...
That the only news item was Brian Flores going to Minnesota.
What else is there?
Well, what about Tom Brady saying that he's going to start calling games in 2024, leaving his calendar open for 2023?
Is that what you think?
It's not what I'm saying. I think he's done, but I think he'd look a little silly if he came back at this point.
Yeah.
After he's already pulled this stunt once, he's going to do it again.
But it never stopped Brett Favre.
It never stopped Brett Favre, and you never know what might happen.
Oh, AJ Green retired. AJ Green. AJ Green retired.
There's that too.
AJ Green retired. You remember that play at the end of the year? I think it was like a Colt McCoy game. It might have even been like a McSorley.
No, I think it was a Blau.
It was a Blau game where he made that catch and run and he housed it. And I was just like, what am I watching? AJ Green had the weirdest end of career of any of the best receivers or best players I've ever watched during my lifetime. Like that last few years of AJ Green was so odd.
Yeah, it wasn't him.
I don't know what was going on.
I think he suffered that injury several years ago with the Bengals. The same. Remember, he sat out and he just was never the same after that. And it's so frustrating. This dude played in 5 playoff games. He scored 1 touchdown, 0 100-yard games, didn't win a single one of them. It's not on him. Just brutal luck for him. But when he came out, he was one of the easiest no-brainer, slam dunk, stud wide receivers, and he was in the same draft class as Julio Jones, and it was easy to put him ahead of Julio Jones in that draft class.
Yep.
He was that good. So silky smooth. I remember going to a scrimmage, a joint practice with the Bengals and the Giants, and he was crushing the Giants in practice. It was not even close. He was such a great receiver. The debate's already started. Does he belong in the Hall of Fame?
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Ball's just short.
Supremely talented player. But if there's debate over Andre Johnson, then I don't see how AJ Green goes.
Right.
Because I think Andre belongs. I've gone back and forth on that in my mind.
Absolutely. I'd have to look at their stat sheets, but in my opinion, Johnson was the better player.
And he had worse quarterback play. Not to say that Green's was great with Dalton, but it was a little more stable than what Johnson had.
Anyway, Hall of Fame fantasy wide receiver for sure.
He's great.
And maybe an early candidate to be our good luck player of 2023.
Oh, okay.
See?
I do have 2 more news items real quick here. I want to get to Dan's players. Josh Jacobs says he wants to stay with the Raiders, and Chase Claypool could get a lot of opportunities in 2023, according to Bears offensive coordinator Luke Getsy. Okay, Dan, some of Dan's favorites. Here we go. We already talked about Calvin Ridley. Here's another guy he likes. Coming off a torn ACL that he sustained in week 11. He's on the Giants, and his name is Wandale Robinson. What do you like about Wandale Robinson?
Well, I thought we might be going next to the one the chat was asking for, James Cook. So let me just get some Wandale Robinson stuff up. Really, for Robinson, what it comes down to for me is this. In his final game before he tore his ACL, Robinson had 9 receptions for 100 yards, and he did all of that in 3 quarters of work because he tore his ACL in the 3rd quarter of that game. I believe he almost had like 10 design touches in that first half. After that, what we saw from this Giants offense was that was kind of the start of what we saw, a transition. They went from a very run-heavy offense that was under center, that used 3 tight ends at some time, extra offensive linemen on plays, to an offense that went 11 personnel, which is 3 receivers on the field, shotgun, spread, run this offense with the quarterback rather than the running back. And we saw Richie James benefit from that. 8 receptions for 90 yards against the Vikings, 7 for 76 against the Colts, and their 2 pass-heavy game scripts after that where they kind of relied on that style of offense. We know moving forward they're going to rely on that style of offense based on things that the coaches have said and the general manager has said. The question becomes, how do you get that offense to function at a high level? And right now, with where they're at in the quarterback's development, he still needs to development. If they do re-sign Jones, their plan is to re-sign Jones. It will continue to run through that Richie James role. We called it watching it, but that role wasn't really designed for Richie James. They drafted Wandale Robinson higher than anyone expected them to draft him at 43 overall in the draft. And they finally found a way once they transitioned that offense to use him in that role. Then he got injured. So they said, all right, let's use Richie James in that role. And those numbers for Richie James could have been even bigger. If you watch the playoff game, they lost to the Eagles. Richie James was wide open over the middle on a really nice route design by Kafka and Dable. And he just dropped an open touchdown. It would have been like a 70 yarder. Wandale Robinson is going to make those plays. So right now for this, where this quarterback is at, that's the role in the offense that's going to get the most targets. That's the role in the offense where it's going to, that's going to get a ton of volume. And Robinson is a player who can maximize that role in ways that Richie James never did. So I'm not asking you to put him in your wide receiver two range or even your wide receiver three range. This is a player who's already said, I think it was 3 days ago, he said, I'm well ahead of schedule in my rehab from the torn ACL. It was a clean ACL tear, no MCL. So he's expecting to be ready for week one. And I think he will be, but I'm not so sure he'll be running around, playing in the preseason, things of that nature, which will all work to keep his ADP down. So I think by the end of draft season, you're still going to be able to get Wandale Robinson at the back end of every single draft. And with his role for PPR leagues, I think he can be a very consistent wide receiver three for you. So there's just a lot of value there, given those factors in my mind.
And I just want to be clear. You're saying that if Richie James had caught that pass, the Giants would have beaten the Eagles, right? That's what you were saying.
Would have won the game. Yes, okay, the Giants would have won that game. It was the only difference in their loss to the Eagles.
Sure.
Dave, I took Wandale Robinson in our dynasty draft last week pretty late. You know, people maybe sleeping on him there. But the only thing, well, not the only thing, the ACL, the...
It's huge. It's a big, big issue.
You know, the lack of passing touchdowns in the offense. Don't know. You got to see. I don't know if he's a target dominator, but no, he obviously is a very, there's no argument that he's a good late round pick. Anything you want to add, or should we move on?
Not much to add. I think he's got the future locked up as the short area slot guy for the Giants. A couple of things to keep in mind. Number one, you mentioned it, Adam, the ACL. Not every receiver comes back from the ACL and is as good as they were in that first year back. In Dynasty, I like him more because you'll be able to enjoy that second year back from the ACL, provided that he stays healthy. He's a little guy. He could get hurt again. He already has taken on a bunch of injuries since joining the New York Giants, and the Giants could add another receiver on the perimeter. Remember, when they went to that 11 personnel that Dan was talking about, they were doing it with Isaiah Hodgins, Darius Slayton, and Richie James.
Yeah.
So they could flush potentially all three of those guys and refresh with a great receiving core with good outside receivers. That'll help Daniel Jones, and to a degree, it'll help Wandale. But I don't know if that'll guarantee him to have a target share in the 20 to 22% range, which is what we look for from slot receivers. So late round pick, especially in full PPR, half and non-PPR, I'm not sure how excited I'll be about him. But in full PPR, you could definitely benefit from having him on your bench and patiently waiting for him to round into form. Might not be until November, but he could be good for around 12 PPR points per game by then.
All right, let's go to James Cook. James Cook averaged 5.7 yards per carry as a rookie. It's the only stat that really matters. In his last four games, he had 37 carries. Devin Singletary had 35, so they were splitting pretty evenly there. Devin Singletary is a free agent. And all right, go ahead. So I guess let me make the case against James Cook.
Okay.
And it's just that he's a Bills running back. And right, in the last three seasons, Bills running backs have been 28th or worse in carries. They've been 31st and 32nd the last 2 years. They've been 26th and 30th in carries inside the 5 yard line the last two seasons. They were 15th 3 years ago. And catches, yeah, not terrible. They were 15th in catches. Buffalo running backs were 15th in catches this year, but the 3 years before that in the Josh Allen era, 28th, 27th, and 25th. So he would just have to buck the trend. Because Bills running backs, even if they're efficient, they just haven't really been that good for fantasy. So make the case for James Cook.
Yeah, I'll start with a 30,000-foot view case here before I get into the specifics of why I like the player and the prospect. The 30,000-foot view here thing is this. Look, anyone who watched the playoffs this year and who's spoken about the Bills and you followed the situation since their loss to the Bengals knows that a lot of people around that situation believe they lost that game and they became a team that didn't, that moment in some ways lost their ceiling this year because they became too much of a finesse team. They couldn't run the football when they needed to, and they became a pass-heavy, pass-game script team that everyone was able to predict and game plan around. When I see those things happen, I feel like that a lot of the times in the offseason, that team looks to immediately fix that issue. And this is one of the easiest things you can do. All you really need to do is find an interior offensive lineman right away, or two, if you can do it, in an offseason, that can immediately make an impact on those duo blocks up front, the double teams that you need, or somebody who can be like a G lead, a guard who can run counter and who can run power plays where he's the lead blocker coming around, makes one block and that frees it up. Because what you're starting to see is teams play the Bills with insanely light boxes last year. And not only light boxes, but light personnel groupings with sometimes five defensive backs on the field, six defensive backs on the field. And despite that, the Bills couldn't run on it. And the easiest way to improve your offense, in my opinion, is this way, because you can find guards that can be plug and play run blockers in this draft class. You might not find a plug and play wide receiver. You might not find a lot of these other positions. Guards, interior offensive linemen, you can find. So I think they will find that. I don't think they're going to draft a running back around one. I think it will be an offensive lineman. So I start with that, right? I think they're going to be a more run heavy team. I also think they're going to improve their offensive line. I think their offensive line was a big reason why they failed this year. You look at some of these grades, for example, they were one of the lowest graded offensive lines, Pro Football Focus overall. Two of their starters, Spencer Brown, their right tackle, and their left guard, Roger Saffield, were the worst at the Saffield specifically. He's a free agent. He's not going to be back. So they're, in my opinion, they're going to immediately upgrade left guard. Right guard, Ryan Bates, he also graded out below average. And then you had two middle of the pack guys in Deion Dawkins and Mitch Morse. I know that they made Pro Bowls or they got, you know, Pro Bowl nods, but they weren't good players. So just overall, I think this offensive line has a lot of room to grow with additions this offseason. Then you look at James Cook as the actual player, right? So he's some stats that really stood out to me. He was second in yards per touch among running backs. Whenever he had nine carries or more, he had 40 yards or more. He was first in breakaway run rate, which is kind of the percentage of runs among running backs that are, I think, 20 plus yards. So he had a lot of 20 plus yard runs, which I thought was really interesting. And I loved what Ken Dorsey said about the trust that he built with the coaching staff. So after week 18, he outcarried Devin Singletary. It was the second week in a row he outcarried him. And in weeks 1 through 10, Cook had 33 carries. But from weeks 11 through the playoff opener, that number moved to 68. And Dorsey talked a lot about how he needed to build that trust. Remember, he had the early season fumbles, and that kind of kept him off the bench. But what I think about is this. Singletary is going to be a free agent this offseason. They already traded Zach Moss. They're probably going to restructure that Hines contract, so he'll be there. But even if they bring in a rookie to compete with these guys, that rookie is going to have to do the same thing that James Cook did last year. He's going to have to build that trust. And so by the time that happens, Cook will have, in my opinion, have already established himself. He's a prospect I loved coming out of Georgia. I felt there was a lot of Dalvin Cook to his game in the sense that he has those really good vision cuts, the ability to set up the blocks. And I always thought he was a much better. Everyone said, oh, he's a receiving base back prospect. No, I didn't think he was going to be a third down back. I loved his ability to run in between the tackles. Thought it was underrated because of his vision and his cuts. So I think this is the year where he just kind of steps into it, breaks out completely, and doesn't have much competition there. I still worry about the things you mentioned, Adam, and I know they're real. The Bills running backs have not produced for fantasy, especially in the red zone where Josh Allen runs a lot. But I think overall the Bills will commit to the run game, improve their offensive line, and turn this thing over for the most part to Cook.
Do they commit to the run game with one guy, or do they commit to the run game to the point where they're actually taking rush attempts and pass attempts off of Josh Allen, or both?
I think it could be both, with lean more on the second. But even if they do lean on the second, I don't think there's an opportunity for them unless they do draft Bijan Robinson. This could all be ruined if they draft Bijan Robinson, which I don't think they'll do based on Brandon Bean as a GM. But if not, and they just bring a rookie in to compete with Cook and Hines, I don't see how Cook doesn't end up being the main guy in this backfield. At worst, they'll have kind of like what we saw from Devin Singletary at times this year from an overall volume standpoint. And he's just a much better player than Singletary, and he'll be running behind a better O-line.
Right. So that's where the upside is baked into James Cook. The downside is that Buffalo has typically been a 60% pass team each of the last 3 years. That's right about where they've been. When they have run the football, it hasn't necessarily been one guy every time. There was the stretch last year where Devin Singletary was the one guy, and there might have been a stretch this year where Devin was the one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So when I was listening back to our show yesterday, I think we have to stop saying last year and this year for now and start saying 2021 and 2022, because yes.
Okay. So when I'm saying last
2021, the end of 2021, Singletary had a lot of work. He was awesome. Right. He was like a top 10 running back. That's what you were referring to.
Right. And was there a spell of that in 2022?
Not I feel like McCarry standpoint there was. Yeah. I remember it too, but this is based on just my memory of the situation. Right.
So very easily they can move on from Devin Singletary and replacing him on that running back depth chart with a day two or day three running back probably wouldn't crush the value of James Cook. I agree that the upside's there. The downside is there as well because of where he's playing and what his role could end up being. And you know that this offense revolves around Josh Allen the way that planets revolve around the sun. Mm-hmm. So I'd be a little cautious to run into James Cook's arms and say, you're my breakout running back. Let's go win a fantasy league together. And because I'm a little cautious about that, I look at him as maybe late round seven, but probably round eight is the time when I'd want to go and get him on my team. And I figure that there will be somebody like Dan who's going to be more bullish on James Cook, and they'll take him in early round seven, maybe even late round six. That's my guess on where you're comfortable taking James Cook right now.
Yep, that's accurate.
And just my quick thoughts on Cook is I really like the player. I'm nervous about him having any real type of sustainable fantasy role because when they drafted him, they called him a complimentary player. And they treated him as such. And I don't know why he never won the third down role. So I feel like if he's going to be sort of a part-time back, you know, committee running back, he's got to have the third down role. And he didn't last year. So obviously everything is subject to change. It's February. But I love the player. I just don't know if we should ever buy into a Bills running back, but maybe this year will be different. Let's check in on the comments here from Rob. Dan, the toilet man. who from Bry, who puts sports shelving up in the bathroom? And from God, Dan won the Game of Thrones. All right, let's go to our next guy, Christian Watson. In his last eight games, that's when he started to break out, he only had 52 targets in those eight games, but he was a top 10 wide receiver, and he was top 10 per game as well. His 17-game pace based on the last eight games of the season, only 66 catches, but 1,111 yards and 15 touchdowns on just 110 targets. In that stretch, Christian Watson had a 22% target share, but he had 30% of the Packers' receiving yards and 7 of their 13 touchdowns. And Aaron Rodgers, it's not like he was tearing it up in those eight games. He was on pace for only 3,400 passing yards, 26 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions on 28.1 pass attempts per game. So you say, oh, well, he's going to have a quarterback downgrade. Well, I mean, Rodgers wasn't exactly tearing it up when Christian Watson was a top 10 wide receiver. Dan, I love Christian Watson. There's going to be so much talk about Olave and Garrett Wilson as the first two second-year receivers to come off the board. It would not surprise me at all if Christian Watson is the best. I don't know if you feel the same way, but man, I think he's so good. And obviously quarterback's an issue for all of these guys, but what we saw was spectacular. What do you think?
Yeah, it's not going to surprise you to hear that we're on the same page. I'm very worried about doing our mock drafts now, Adam, and our real drafts, because I think you're going to be competing with me for Watson all year. all draft season, I should say. For me with Watson, and those know who listen to our podcast during the season, I waxed poetic about him for 2 months straight to end that season before his breakout and during it. I see a player here who reminds me a lot, so much, of the draft misevaluation we had with DK Metcalf when he came out of Ole Miss. When Metcalf came out of Ole Miss, part of the issue for him was the combine, but the other part of the issue for those who kind of scouted the film and looked into the player a little bit more, where they said, he really only runs two routes, DK Metcalf, right? How is that going to work at the NFL level? He doesn't have an expansive route tree. And I think this is one of the biggest misevaluations we have as we look at wide receivers translating from the college level to the NFL level. Because if they can dominate on those specific routes, that's more important than them running the full route tree pretty well. And that's similar to what I saw from Christian Watson. A lot of his touchdowns were either in the vertical passing game or on the mid in the intermediate and shallow crossers that he can just catch and then use his athleticism, speed, and burst to separate from the from the defensive backs, the safety, or the corner, which I saw. I mean, you look at two games that stood out to me. One was the Bears game where he took that shovel pass kind of end around play and just totally housed the play and just outran the entire Bears defense. I watched that play on film this morning before this podcast, and the separation that he created from those Bears defensive backs. I know it's the end of the season, the Bears were out of it, and maybe they weren't giving 100% effort, but it looked like a Madden game watching him separate. And then I watched the Cowboys film where he had four catches for 107, three TDs. That was as the kids like to say, and I'm trying to keep up with the kids these days, Adam, because I'm growing older. That was the biggest I'm him performance of the season. season, I thought, from any rookie.
I've never heard that. I've never heard that before in my life.
Never heard the "I'm him."
No.
Oh, that's the any player now is him. Saying they're the GOAT, now you just say they're him. So I don't know. Look at these air quotes I'm using. I'm such a goober.
Remind me to say something cool when you're done with this, by the way. But
yeah,
go ahead.
You need to help me out by saying something cool. But during his weeks 10 to 18, he had 35 total touches, 31 catches, which means they're designing these touches for him around this line of scrimmage, even when he's not catching the football. 582 yards, 8 touchdowns. That's with injuries. Since 2017, this is actually a stat courtesy of Fantasy Pros' Derek Brown, a friend of mine. I love this stat. Since 2017, he joins Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, McLaurin, and Godwin as a rookie player with over 2.0 yards per route run on a minimum of 50 targets. Wow. He is somebody who the Packers are insanely excited about. Here's what general manager Brian Gutekunst said. He said, "Once he got rolling, I thought we were a completely different team. I think defenses played us differently once he was going." Yes. And that shows up in the film too. When you have that kind of speed and breakaway ability, it completely impacts how the defense will play you. And he said, LaFleur said he gave us a legitimate home run threat. You can move him anywhere within the formation, and I know he's going to go out there and execute the play. I think there are just some things with his releases and his route refinement that we still, like most young players, can improve on. And that's correct. That's the best part about Christian Watson. We have all this insane data that shows that he has, and I'll show this real quick. According to Player Profile, 96th percentile speed score, 40-yard dash, 98th percentile 40-yard dash, 98th percentile speed score, 95th percentile burst score. His burst speed, his acceleration, those are all off the charts. But what he said, LaFleur, is there's still a lot of refinement that he can have as an actual route runner to get him. And that's something we've seen with DK Metcalf over the years. He's become an actual better receiver. He runs a more full route tree. That same thing is going to happen with Christian Watson at some point in his career. It might be as early as this season. It might take a little bit more time. But that just shows that there's still so much more meat on the bone for him. So I'm extremely excited about Christian Watson moving forward for this season and in the future as well.
What was the Packers' record before Christian Watson started playing 70%+ of the snaps for them? That started to happen in week 10. So it's the first nine.
Three
games.
And six.
3-6.
5-3
after.
How did
they finish the season?
Five
right. There's no question that he changed the dynamic of how defenses played them, but also how their offense operated.
Yes.
And when you mesh him with a quarterback like Rodgers, who wasn't at his best, Adam is right about that. It worked. It made the whole offense take a step forward, and it made them a much more competitive team just in time for them to lose by 4 points to the Lions in week 18. Sorry to bring that up, Packers fans. I'm kind of giving one to the Lions fans that are listening. He's turned out to be a great player. Two questions for you, Dan. Number one, is he the type of receiver who can make quarterbacks better than they actually are? And I think it's an open question. And number two is, where are you drafting him? Going right back to that same question that I gave you over Ridley. It's the same question that we kind of answered with James Cook. But I'd like your answers to both of those questions to wrap up our conversation on Christian Watson.
Yeah, the first question for me, and I just want to add one more thing to what you mentioned about how the Packers are so much better. Over the second half surge with Watson, the Packers averaged 27.0 points per game, and they weren't anywhere near that number before he broke out. So that was, I thought, interesting as well. But
in two games with him even playing,
right,
where they scored at least 20 points.
Yeah.
So there were a bunch of games where they couldn't even get to 20.
Exactly. So it's a totally different offense. To answer your first question, I think the answer is yes. One thing that I really thought was interesting, there was a vertical route he ran late in the season. He made a huge catch. I'm trying to remember what game this was. I think it was the Lions game. And it was against Armani Orokoa. I never know how to pronounce that guy's name, the Lions cornerback. And he was flagged for pass interference. It was a 45-yarder down the left hash. He caught it despite being interfered with. And I was like, damn, there's the ball skills people say he doesn't have too. I think his ability to separate from defenders post-catch makes him a quarterback's best friend. Also, in the vertical game, he can do the same thing. He can separate from defenders just with his release and speed and burst off the line of scrimmage. So, yes, I think he's actually – and just like with Metcalf, I think Metcalf is a great example of that as a receiver who brings out the best in quarterbacks, and we've seen it with Geno Smith. Watson will be that type as well for me. And I'm sorry, what was the second question, Dave?
Where are you drafting him?
Yeah, that's the tougher question with Watson, especially with the open-endedness right now of Aaron Rodgers versus Jordan Love.
Okay, so let's start with this.
Okay.
His quarterback is Jordan Love.
Yeah, when Jordan Love came in, I think it was the Cowboys game, he immediately caught that crosser. Caught that crosser, housed it for like 6 yards. And I was like, yeah, you can still win with Christian Watson, even if Love's there. Anyone can throw an intermediate crosser or even like a short drag, and he just housed it post-catch.
Okay, so is he around seven pick with Jordan Love?
I would definitely take him in round
six. Round six?
I would take him in round six.
Round five?
That's when it starts to get a little more interesting, because you're going to have, but where are, like Adam said earlier, where are the guys? Because I'm not as familiar right now with ADP. Where are the other guys in that class, Olave types, going?
There isn't a lot of ADP out there on those guys, but I would imagine that Wilson and Olave here. I'm doing a best ball draft,
okay,
an industry best ball draft right now. I'll tell you exactly where they went.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson was a second round pick.
Wow.
He was eighth pick of round two. Chris Olave was the third pick in round three.
So you know what?
It's a little bit of it, and it's three receivers.
But that may just be the case for this year, right? Because remember, we had, like Adam was saying earlier, the Suttons and the Pittmans in that range as well last year. So I think I'd be comfortable moving him into my fourth round range at that point, because I don't see much of a drop. I'm with Adam. I still think the ceiling is by far the highest for him of all those receivers next year. Personally, based on what I've seen from Watson and my high feelings on him going into the draft, I thought he had the chance to be the best receiver in that entire class. And he's already kind of showing it.
Yeah, you know, I'll give you two cases. I'll give you a case against him, but I will say this. If Aaron Rodgers comes back and is the quarterback for the Packers, Rodgers has had a tendency throughout his career to pepper a wide receiver with red zone targets.
Yeah.
And he did that with Lazard in the first half of the season, and then he did that with Watson in the second half of the season. That just Watson became his guy. And he did that with Jordy Nelson, and he did that with Davante Adams, and it was just so consistent. So if Rodgers comes back, I think Watson, to me, would end up being a fourth-round pick. But the issue I have with Watson is the profile is a little bit Gabe Davis-y in that he runs really – his route depth wasn't actually that deep. But his ADOT was sixth highest in the NFL. And it is hard to find wide receivers other than Mike Evans over the last several years who have had good fantasy seasons with a very high ADOT. You have one season from Tyreek Hill. You have one season from Calvin Ridley where he was 10th in ADOT. And he was wide receiver 4 per game. You have a Kenny Galladay season. He was wide receiver 13 per game in PPR. But for the most part, high ADOT is not, like, very, very high ADOT is not good for PPR scoring and for fantasy in general. Just it's a little bit too inconsistent. I do think, however, everything Dan said, I do think there's more to his game than just being a high ADOT guy. I think you could see him. Complete.
The only issue with that stat, Adam. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. But the only issue with that stat, real quick, is that is factoring in a lot of these receivers who are just simply in the kind of Adam Leviton describes this best as the. Now I'm blanking on what he calls it, the role where you're just running so many vertical routes.
MVS.
Yeah, like the role where you're just essentially clearing out the safeties and opening up the space in the middle of the field, running a ton of vertical routes in your game. So all those types of players are going to have a high ADOT, but they're not going to have a lot of production because their role in the offense really create things underneath. And I think Watson can not only do that, but also be a big time contributor on those drags, on those in breakers, on those crosser routes as a receiver.
All right, we're just about out of time here, so I'm going to combine two players, Javonte Williams and Ken Walker. You like them both. Give me a round for Ken Walker and a round for Javonte Williams.
I'm not going to give you a round. I'll use this time better to kind of go over some of why I like both those players.
No, and you give me a round. Come on. You're not going to. This is a fantasy football show, young man.
I don't know ADP right now. ADP is so bad.
If
you were doing a draft.
Means you're giving us a raw.
Fine.
Yeah, you're taking Ken Walker in the first or the second round? You're taking Javonte in the third or the fourth?
I'll take Ken Walker in the back on the 1-2 turn right now. And I'll take Javonte Williams 3-4 range.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he's a little higher on Javonte than I am.
Yes. So actually, the reason I'm still high on Javonte, and I'll do a quick breakdown of both because we don't have much time, is because
Let's see if this is quick, by the way. And I'm going to
Quick with me. quick relative for Schneier's standards.
All right, I'm going to say something cool at the end of the show. So
okay. You're going to say something cool. We got to get that in. Javonte Williams' case, everyone should go check out Dave If you're listening to the show, you know who Dave is. His article on Sean Payton's impact on the Saints offense, what his impact could be on the Saints, or I'm sorry, the Broncos offense for next year. It's an incredibly in-depth article. I think every fantasy football player should read it, but I'm going to bring up some stats currently or that he wrote about in that that kind of lead me in the direction of loving Javonte Williams this year. So one thing that Dave wrote about was running backs have been incredibly productive over Sean Payton's entire career as coaching. Let me get to this. It's a good, so hold on. I'm trying to do the,
it's unheard of.
Yes.
The type of percentage of reception,
31.1% of receptions.
That's the average. And there were years where it was like over 35%. And it wasn't just Alvin Kamara. Remember, you guys remember who Darren Sproles was? He was on the Saints for a spell. He picked up a ton of receptions.
Of course, I remember.
Did you really say no to
Yes, I remember. Yes, of course. And Kansas State.
And anyone could point to it and be like, oh, well, guess what? Russell Wilson has had trouble throwing to running backs. But last year, as Dave Rode did a good job breaking out, he set a career high in targets to running backs with 20.6. And also 22.7% of those attempts to running backs, those pass attempts to running backs, were inside the 10-yard line from Russell Wilson. And my overall case for Javonte Williams comes down. There's a lot of things to like about him. I looked at, we don't have time for all this, but, you know, Spark notes this, but I looked at Dave's draft profile of Javonte Williams from a little while back because we do draft profiles. And some of what Dave wrote about was he sees a version, a kind of a better version of Chris Carson in him. And one of those reasons was he's already pro ready as a pass protector. I think that'll keep him on the field on third downs. He showed last year he can do some things as a receiver. But what I watched this year with the Giants is the main reason I'm so excited about Javonte Williams and players on this, because I saw what a difference coaching can make with Brian Daboll coming over. And I know that more than anything else, coaching is the big factor here. You take some one of the worst coached offense in the league, the Broncos last year, and you're giving the best coach. And Sean Payton will find ways to revive this offense. And I think it will operate through that running back in the passing game. That's the easiest way to get this offense going. He's done a great job over his career designing those easy routes in space for running backs, in addition to the wheel routes and some of the more vertical things you've seen him do with Kamara. And I think Javonte Williams will be the guy that operates in that role. He's proven it in the past. He showed a little bit of it before his injury this year. He showed some at North Carolina as well. I think he's a natural route runner, natural receiver. It's part of his game people don't really know about, but I think it will show next year. So my main case is Sean Payton will prove that offense there.
It's got to work with Russ, though. And it's part of the reason why I'm not rushing back to Russell Wilson as a top 12 fantasy quarterback is because I'm not sure if Russ will do what Sean Payton wants him to do. I think it's pretty good. Like Sean Payton said a couple of things in his opening press conference about how you're supposed to build around the strengths of everybody on your team, including the quarterback, and hide the weaknesses and really lean on them. And we know that he's done that not only with his quarterbacks, but also with his wide receivers, his running backs. The list goes on and on. But he's also made it clear that the things that Russell Wilson was getting last year, like having his own coaches on the team, like that's going to change too. They've got to have a good working dynamic. And part of it's going to have to be if Sean Payton wants his quarterback to throw to the running back, then the quarterback better do it. And if Russ overlooks that, it's obviously going to hurt the running backs getting good numbers in Denver. And I'm also not sure that Javonte will be his old self because he's coming back from an ACL injury, and B, that he'll be the main guy there. He'll lead the way, I think, as far as like playing time goes. But they could bring in another running back, and they could make things a little bit more of a two-man backfield that could hamper that upside with Javonte Williams. So when I heard you say round 3-4 turn, it's a little it's too rich for me by 10 picks as of now for Javonte Williams.
Okay. Yeah. And there is a lot of faith I'm putting in Russell Wilson to kind of adhere to what you, like you said, Sean Payton wants him to do.
I don't think we have to really get into Ken Walker. I mean, everybody likes Ken Walker. So would you rather have Ken Walker or Travis Etienne?
Walker. Not even close for me.
Mixon?
Walker.
Derrick Henry?
I don't think Mixon's going to be on the Bengals, so Walker.
Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry? Walker.
Same.
Okay.
They're back-to-back. They're both top 10 guys for me.
Jonathan Taylor?
No.
I'm going to be Walker over Taylor. I'm not high on Taylor going into next year right now.
Wow. Oh,
okay. I don't like that offensive line. We'll see what happens at quarterback. That'll help me figure that out more.
All right, I'm going to finish the show with something cool. Now, okay. As you know, to the surprise of nobody, I'm not really a hip-hop guy. Pretty much classic rock and roll from the 60s through the 90s and a little bit in this century. But did you guys see the Grammys hip-hop tribute?
No. I seeked it out, went to CBS.com and found it, and I loved it.
I didn't see it.
Because I am an old school hip hop guy. It was, I wish they gave them all more time because all the rappers that they had on stage, they were on there for like 15 to 30 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, I got to check this out.
Oh my God. It was very nostalgic,
but yeah. It could have been a little bit cooler if they had given everybody a little bit more time.
It was a really long presentation though.
Really long. There were also some guys who were huge for rap. That were not a part of that. I wish were.
Who was the biggest missed?
I mean, they had absolutely no representation from NWA.
Yeah, that's stupid.
They didn't have Too Short. That's two off the top of my head. No Slick Rick. Yeah. I know that he's still around. No, I would have loved Rick. To have seen. I don't know what song.
Children's Story.
Rick. Yeah, I guess so. Or, you know.
Do you know that one, Adam?
No. No, I just I think you might actually
be amused by that song. That's a good song.
Yeah, that's a funny one.
But coming from me, I don't like hip hop, and I thought the presentation was incredible. It was really long, and really Busta Rhymes was the best.
He was great. He's awesome.
And I never watched the Grammys really, and we just happened to turn it on for that moment.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
I was just blown.
You watched
amazing.
The best part.
It just kept going and going. It was really, really fun. So yeah, everyone should. I guess it's on CBS.com. So go check it out. I'm sure you can watch it on YouTube too. But really, very cool. Great.
Job. Give us the click instead.
Yeah, I couldn't find it on YouTube.
Oh, okay. So go to
found
CBS.com.
It very quickly on CBS.com.
Yeah, well, good stuff. And it had a lot of, the powerhouse women in hip hop too.
Yes,
Queen Latifah, Salt and Peppa.
No MC Light, but that's all right.
I don't know who that is. That could have been a beer for all I know. But that's gonna do it. That's gonna do it for today's show. We're gonna hear from Chris Towers tomorrow and his favorite players for 2023. We'll start talking about DFS props, those types of things as we get. I think maybe starting tomorrow or Thursday. So have
check
a great
out
day,
the
everybody.
Site too, real quick, because we have player prop articles coming from everybody on FFT for the Super Bowl. So if you want to make some plays, look at some props, go check out the website fantasyfootball cbssports.com/fantasyfootball.
All right, we're out of here, everybody. Quick comments here. Dan Schneier is him.
Yeah, Corey. Hey,
Dan, I'm him God. Schneier. And Dan, him Nyer.
Nice.
Later, everybody.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.